is The Different Football Show. VAR You Serious on FUBAR Radio with Cecil G. Thomas.
Yes, people, it's Cecil G, presenter, former footballer, and your guide through the chaos of the beautiful game. This is VAR You Serious, the football show that takes everything we love about the sport and flips it completely on its head. Now, we're talking fantasy 11s, where we build, you know, teams that nobody hops for. There's rants of the week, delivering the pure, unfiltered truth from the fans, complete with tears, tantrums, and the odd tinfoil hat conspiracy. We all have a conspiracy theory. But it's not all madness. We're shining a light on the real stories that make football special. The Sunday League legends, the kit mans, the people that have been at the clubs for ages, the women in the club of their local team that have run the team from their kitchen table. It's heart, it's humour, and just the right amount of chaos. Talk about heart and humour, actually. We've got a special guest in the building today. We've got Ali Woods in the place to be, a comedian as well. Big up, Ali. He's here with joining us today. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Can I do something? This might be the biggest football show I ever get on, so can I do something?
Okay, go on.
Okay, so firstly, I want to say thank you to the NHS. Secondly, I want to say Black Lives Matter. Mope, you're a cheat and disgrace. Hope Brighton get relegated.
He's come prepared. He knows what he's on. He knows who he's with. Cecil G, big up Ty as well, the legend.
We said that so much in COVID, man. First, I want to say Black Lives Matter. Thank you to AJ. Mope, you're a cheat and disgrace. I hope Brighton get relegated.
Hope Brighton get relegated.
Don't blame it on Mope.
Come to our change room and say that. Football terms. You won't come out alive. In football terms.
It was raining.
We mustn't forget it's been raining. Ali has come prepared, a legend in the game, comedian, and I'm honoured to have him here in the studio. Now, we're going to talk things football. As much as he referenced Ty there, he's a Man United fan.
But that's why I know Ty, because I only watch him when, you know, Arsenal are losing, innit? That's Arsenal fan TV. That's what it's for, man. Arsenal fan TV in the sort of 2018 to 2022 era was fantastic viewing.
Well, now we're winning.
Yeah, it's boring.
Now we're winning. Now we're top of the league and things are good. As much as there's a little bit of worry, but we'll get into
it. It's over. Season's over for you, man. That's it. First wobble. Done.
See you coming.
Brandia. Emmy, okay, your producer's smiling.
Yeah, of course.
Horrible. He's a horrible man behind that glass.
He's a City fan. And he is smiling because he knows, well, he believes City will win the league regardless, but I'm as an Arsenal fan, as always, an optimist. I'm going to believe that we go on and do it.
Deluded is what that's called.
Some call us that, but no, we have to believe. We can't be second three times in a row and not make it a fourth. That can't happen. Arsenal will win this Premier League title.
You know what it was, Cecil? Was like, you know when Arteta was like starting badly and you finish eighth and it was like losses. Yeah. And sometimes there was that run of losses that you had and it was bad, and like Man United were the only team that you beat in that time, 1-0, Aubameyang, yes. Penalty. And I just remember sometimes being like, oh, maybe it is a bit bad for Arsenal. Like, I feel a bit sorry for them. And then I just remember you guys singing, take your time with it. Take your time. And I'd be like, I hope this club gets destroyed in hell.
He's very liquidated. Locked in. We were seeing the game out.
I'm coming for hate.
We were seeing the game out. Take your time with it. By the way, that is a classic. And I'm hoping that Arsenal, well, don't take the time with it. I hope they actually win it this season. But yes, that was an interesting time. Listen, COVID was a terrible time, but the football-wise, you're right. I suppose at the height of you know, watch-alongs, and I think that's where, you know, a lot of our, especially at AFTV, it was massive at that time. That's when we had high viewership numbers and stuff. Obviously, maybe because there was a lot of rival fans like yourselves watching and having a bit.
Well,
of a
it's
laugh.
Impressive though. It's impressive. Like, you are the fan TV.
Yeah.
Of any club, probably in the world. I don't know about. There was that. Remember that Real Madrid guy who was like tic tac.
Yes.
I mean, that was a beast. But apart from that random one, like Colonel Sanders man in Spain, like that's you are the fan TV. It's pretty impressive.
I'm not gonna deny that. I do agree. And of course, this is a football show, so we're talking about, you know, the football and fan culture. We've got an avid Man United fan in the building. We're going to talk about this weekend's result. There was a draw to West Ham.
The stadium's is toxic now. A lot of people hate Amorim. We've got so many players out of position. I do take his point when he talks about, like, it's not so much like the formation, it's like the application of it. Where it's like, if you play Amad right wing back, mm-hmm. and you've got, like, you know, Mazraoui, whether it's De Ligt, like Yoro in the middle, or Maguire, and then kind of like Shaw, and then Dalot, like you're playing kind of four at the back. There's four defenders then. Right. Amad's not a defender, so you're kind of, it's more attacking than you'd think it is.
Yeah.
But the problem is, like, those players aren't suited to that position. So it's not like when Glasner came in at Palace and he's like playing these players in, he's like, I'll build this formation around the players we've got so it works for them.
Correct.
He's like bringing in this formation which needs 10 more players to play it. And so it's ridiculous, but What are you going to do, man?
What are you going to do?
You know what it was? It was that my dad, so annoying, my dad, when we were growing up, because my dad's from Manchester, that I get that one in early because the producer come at me with the Man City nonsense. You know these Manx in London?
I know. Don't see a lot of London guys in here, not spotting London teams.
Enough of that. My dad's from Manchester. Credits, receipts are here.
And you got a season ticket?
I got a season ticket. You know what it is? Season tickets in 2013. Never seen the good times, Kim. I've never seen one good season. Best time, we finished second. It was COVID. Couldn't even watch.
Listen, so I empathize with you there. Because I've watched Arsenal for many years all my life. I haven't actually seen them, like, actually at the stadium lift a Premier League title. Or obviously, European title as well. Yeah, I haven't done any of that. So,
what do you think, Champions League? Though, do you think you got a chance?
Yeah, I think we have a chance. I think
you have a good. Do you think your favourites?
Yeah.
Would you say?
Favourites. Yeah, listen. There's going to be people listening saying, "Cecil, don't do it." But yeah, I do. Well, I think we're favourites. I think that with the squad, listen, right now we're suffering a lot of injuries, but so are many other clubs. But
excuses already, man. Excuses already. That's the problem with the Arsenal fans, Cecil. It's like you're like, yeah, we're favourites for Champions League. Oh, it's got low injuries. Like, it's like, how do you have both?
Because
how
do you? No, but we're doing. But it's not an excuse because our squad is so good. So I'm saying we have injuries. So does every other club. But our squad is so good that we're not really feeling the effects of it. Mm. Granted, this weekend we lost Aston Villa. We drew against Aston Villa. We did not. We lost in the end, last minute. Emi Buendia.
Gonna do that to teams though, man. They're annoying. I thought they were done this year. I thought, oh, they haven't invested well. Mm. And like, oh, what's his face? Good evening.
Unai Emery.
I forgot his name. But I thought maybe he's done as much as he can with his team. Mm. And like first five games, they were terrible. And then now they just come back and now I'm worried. Because I got tickets to Villa away as well. So I watched the Haram live, man. It's terrible.
Yeah, good luck. Because Villa Park is not a joke. And obviously, like you said, they're the most informed team. And we keep facing the most informed teams. And
here we go again, man. Here we go again.
Like Chelsea.
Arsenal somehow face the most informed teams. They have most injuries and their favourites and deserve to
win. But we're still going to win the league.
Yeah, exactly.
We're still going to win the league. I'll put my chest on the table.
But you know what it is, Cecil? It's like, I'm a North London Man United fan, right? So Arsenal have... They hold the hatred in my heart.
Oh.
From school.
Fair. I thought you were going to say you had a little soft spot for them, but no.
No, the opposite. But I actually do now because they are the good guys in this. We're in the last couple of years, and I tried to explain this to my fellow North London Man United fans, where it's like, if it's Arsenal, a team grown from like good purchases, you know, young players, or it's like Sports Watching Project founded in 2007, Manchester City, salam alaikum, and we've got, or Liverpool, who are the actual enemy of Man United.
Yeah.
Arsenal, I would rather win the league.
Of course. Yeah. And that is...
if it wasn't for Arsenal fans, that's the issue, though.
Yeah, everyone says this.
Yeah,
but that's a sensible Man United fan, because you do not want your rivals, Liverpool, your actual rivals, to get 21 Premier League titles. They go above you. You don't want that.
No.
And then City as well. Like, that is your... Yeah, so another rival. Nick, that's your noisy neighbours now, especially of their recent success. So you shouldn't want them to go on and end up winning the title. So it makes sense, you know. Come and join us at the parade when we win the league. But what makes it so frustrating, Arsenal fans, to you then? What is it? Is it just, are we loud? But it's a big fan base, so you're going to get
big fan base. You know what is? Is the Arsenal... You've already encapsulated within the like 7 seconds we've been recording. It's the mix of delusion and like entitlement. Like, it's unreal. It's like we are up against everything, but we also deserve to win.
Yeah,
it's just unbelievable, man. Because Man United fans, like, we get toxic and we get like deluded, right?
You guys are just as annoying. Let me make that very clear. What is it? Never. What is it? Adored.
Hated, adored, never ignored.
Oh.
True, isn't it? That's true, though.
Look, there you go. A prime example of a Man United fan that just believes it's about
them. That's true.
We're
the biggest club in the world. That's what's going to happen. That's just facts. That's not even... That's facts. And you know what?
Just be a little bit humble.
Oh, we're shit. We are shit. Okay. But that's the thing. Now you talk to Man United fans, they know we are shit.
Yeah, it's changed.
Yeah,
it's Dallow
on their back.
Yeah.
No one's doing that. We're
true.
Bad. So that's... But we are, I think, the second worst to Arsenal fans.
Okay, I agree with that. Now, let me move on quickly to... Oh, I should actually just quickly briefly speak about it, because I'm going to have to do it. As an Arsenal fan, I was at Villa Park. Yes, we lost. Last minute. Killer.
What happened in this game? So I missed the game. I saw the highlights. But you've been so dominant. But this was the first time. Yeah.
First half, we were abysmal.
Really?
It was just the players seemed lethargic. They seemed tired. They weren't at it at all. If anything, truthfully, from me, Villa should have won 3-4-1.
Really?
Ollie Watkins had the biggest chance. And... Big up Ollie Watkins as a friend of mine, but he's a friend of mine. I used to body double him, which people may be confused by, but a lot of his adverts he done, I do, as his body double. So,
wow. Maybe that's why it looked like Villa had more players on the pitch then. He was just coming on. Ollie Watkins plays it through to Ollie Watkins. How's that worked?
Yes. Yeah, so so you're right.
What is it, tiredness, you think? Bit of...
Well, I think Arsenal were just fatigued. I think with the fixture congestion, obviously tough games. We had obviously Bayern, Chelsea, and then Villa away. I think it caught up with them. But again, we have a squad. We keep boasting about how good our squad is, so we should be able to deal with it. But when you have, which we saw on the day, Saliba was out, that was a big hit. Obviously, we have Gabriel Magalhães out, but Saliba as well out. It affected things a little bit. And listen, it is what it is. Villa, like I said, they deserved a higher score. It could have been 3-4-1. So I'm not going to take away from them. They gave it to us in the end. And we weren't good enough. And that happens. Villa are a good side. We lost to the better side on the day. That happens. Mm. I'm not as angry as I was when we drew against Chelsea because that was a 10-man Chelsea side. But frustrating. And obviously City are now, as they say, the Sharks. They're on our backs. And am I worried?
I'm a villainous grin. I know. That's a villain right there.
He can't wait for it. He can't wait for them to overtake us. But I don't see it happening. And if they do, we'll end up winning this title, like I mentioned at the top of the show. And like I mentioned, Ollie Watkins, he had that big chance. He skinned a few of our defenders, which was amazing. And he's a quality player. And he was supposed to be at Arsenal. It was January window, I think last season, he was supposed to come. But
really?
A few things broke down. Yeah, obviously, like I said, being quite close to him for
would have been better than
Jokeres. Say again?
Would be better than Jokeres. Let's be real.
That's not
a controversial opinion.
Jokeres has just won the Ballon d'Or for the best striker in the world. Yes, it's in the Portuguese league. His category of goals is probably better than Ollie Watkins. But I've got to be careful because, like I said, me and Ollie Watkins are close.
Come on, man. Let's not be serious. I won best striker at my nephew's 7th birthday. That's not the same.
It's a Ballon d'Or recognition for him. However, Ollie Watkins, if I'm being honest, what I saw from him in that game, what I saw from Victor Jokeres when he came on, there was a bit of, not worlds apart, but there was a clear difference on who was a more informed or better striker from what I saw, even in that little couple minutes at Villa Park. But Victor Jokeres is building into this Arsenal side of the Premier League. You mentioned it off air as well, that takes a bit of time, second season.
I never said anything.
Second season, we might see Victor Jokeres. And I'll just briefly touch on the body doubling thing. Yeah, so basically, like I said, so Under Armour was obviously a sponsor of Ollie Watkins. And so I go in, I do an hour. Well, I do 6 hours on set. He does an hour, gets his face shots done, and then I do the rest of the choreography. And it's actually really fulfilling. I do a lot of other athletes. Marcus Rashford, I'm his main body double since he first
really?
Come through. I have a very good relationship with Rashford.
Yeah,
so
wow.
No Rashford slander on here.
I actually have a lot of love for Rashford, man.
Okay,
and I actually feel like it's a bit sad almost, his career. Because he could have been a United legend. And I think he's obviously like, you would know more than me.
Yeah.
But from a fan's perspective, I would say he just came in so young, yeah. Had to deal with a lot of pressure,
yeah.
Took on a political pressure that not many footballers would dare
Correct.
To do. Rightly so, and was a great
yeah.
person for doing that. Then that put him under even more like reason for criticism from other corners. So yeah, everyone's happy with you doing that.
Love
but
that.
If you then miss the chance, then it's like, well, now you just focus on politics. Like people care more about the football, which is so sad to see people don't recognize that. In a team in flux, has had to play many positions under many managers. And it's good to see him having a better time in Barcelona. But then that also now seems to be cracking a little bit as
yeah.
well. And I think
yeah.
maybe he's just a sensitive guy who... you know, would need to go, maybe just go play at a club that is, you know, not like, I'm using Galatasaray as an example. I think personally he's better than Turkish League.
Yeah.
But just like where he could be inconsistent, be a hero,
yeah.
you know, go score 20, 25 goals in a season and not have the pressure because he's such a talent.
That is actually a very respectful and thank you. A really nice speech on Marcus Rashford. Obviously, like I said, quite close to him and his brother Dwayne Maynard as well. Like you said, yeah, they are quite... hopefully they don't take it negatively. They are quite an emotional family. Obviously, they've changed their family's lives through what Rashford's done. He's changed a lot of the country's lives when it came to the free school meals and stuff. And now he gets criticised for the stuff he's doing off the pitch. But like when it actually is helping a lot of the country at that time. But under a lot of pressure, came through very young. But an incredibly talented footballer. I've worked with him away from what you see on the weekend when he plays for Man United. He is such a technically gifted player, such a skillful player, actually more skillful than people actually give him credit for. And I think a lot of players that have played with him in England will say Rashford is a joke, and I've seen it firsthand. So yeah, he's a good player. Just had a bit of a, you know, sad ending to his Man United time. Obviously he's may return back to Man United, but we don't know where he's gonna go after Barcelona. Obviously currently on loan there, but we'll have to see. Anyway, I'm gonna keep pushing forward. got a bit, that got very footbally. very footbally for a show that, you know.
I think the clip was don't talk about football at the start, was it?
We're going to, I'm going to quickly just briefly, before we go into our first, the big debate, our first section of the show, Mohamed Salah. We spoke about Rashford there, but we're going to talk about Mohamed Salah and the comments that happened over the weekend. I think this stole the headlines of the whole weekend, where regardless of the football and the results, the headline got stolen by Mohamed Salah, basically saying that, you know, he's done so much for the club and he feels a little bit let down and they've thrown him under the bus, was kind of the big headline that Liverpool have done that to him. And I want to ask you, Ali, just briefly, I know they're your rivals, but like I said, this dominated all of the weekend's talk. Player power, I know you had it with Ronaldo coming out with Piers Morgan and saying how he, you know, his opinions on the club and how it hasn't changed and, you know, they're not moving forward and whatnot. This is a little bit different, but it's still kind of the same of a player coming out, having a voice, saying how he feels. Where do you stand on it? Is it too much player power? Is it an issue? Is it a problem? Should it be nipped in the bud? Should he have said it at all or just kept it in-house? Give me your thoughts.
Well, can I just say,
go.
It's amazing to watch Liverpool do their Man United arc. It's fantastic. There's this summer transfer window where they're under Michael Edwards, where they move on Van Dijk and Salah and be like, thank you for your service, you've been brilliant. They bring in Gehi and Mbeumo and they evolve. And instead, they've given these guys 400k a week. Van Dijk twerking in the box. Salah now in the press conference. Did you see the PR guy heading his
hand? Yeah, he's on the phone. You can see he was texting like, all right, we've got a problem.
He's texting his wife being like, no, I'm working all weekend. There's no chance. It was hilarious. And yeah, you're right. We had it with Ronaldo. I think it shows how out of touch some of these people are, you know, to be honest, like the ego that some people get. And why not? Salah's generally one of the best football players of all time, not one of the best football players in Premier League history, one of the best footballers of all time. You get benched for 2 games. He's talking like he's been persecuted, like he's getting 400 grand a week. And also Liverpool's results haven't, but they, you know, going forward, they're so good.
Yeah.
Like now, like they have been, to be fair, all season. But it's not like it's like they're losing 1-0 and he's just left on the bench. Like they're scoring 2-3 goals a game without him. So I think it's fantastic. I really hope Salah keeps talking. If you're listening, Mo Salah, I think just keep speaking your mind. You're not really saying enough. So like, and you, those guys are being really mean to you. So just keep going and do it as publicly as possible. Start mentioning other players. Start making fun of Slot's hair, like the lack of hair. Cause you've got this big bush of hair. Like that's, he's jealous of the alpha haircut you've got, man. So, you know, just keep mentioning that. And go for it, I think, as well. And when you're on AFCON as well, just every time you score, take off your shirt and be like, Slot shit underneath. And then like, get a bald actor in and like, play his head for a bit in every goal. And I think that will help Liverpool Football Club really come together at the end of the season. So that's my thoughts on that. So good luck to Mo Salah. You, honestly, I believe in you, man. I never really liked you until this season, but now I think you're quite good.
Spoken like a true Man United fan. I love
that. What do you think of that, though? Because isn't it? Because, I mean, Man United have a bit of this as well. At the moment, there's like, oh, do these players want to play the system? Yeah. And at the moment, no one's coming out. And and there's not serious reports. It seems that there's like genuine discomfort. But you can tell there's something. Some of these players, they don't want to be playing what they're doing.
Something's brewing that's obviously quite negative. The calling Liverpool going through the Man United era will rattle so many people.
It's true, though. Is that true? You bought spend 450 million quid on players you don't need. You bought 12 attackers when you need a new centre-back. You've got Uncle Van Dijk at the back.
That has finished me off, I must say. Liverpool going through the Man United era. But it's a fascinating situation. I think player power is becoming a big issue and I think clubs are trying to get a hold of it. I think the things with Ekotike and Isak and him being frustrated at the beginning of the season and basically saying, I'm the guy, and him taking off his shirt and whatnot. There's clearly a few rumblings of problems there at Liverpool. And Salah's, again, he's come out to the media and kind of voiced it, which was obviously uncalled for, especially when he's going to, like you said, he's going to AFCON soon as well. So he's kind of just thrown in a bomb into the water and just kind of said, okay, deal with that. And then I'm going to do this. I kind of live by the mantra. I was a professional footballer. I live by the mantra of you're never bigger than the club. But hey.
Good Fergie's lessons instilled in you.
Listen, Fergie's the greatest manager of all time. As an Arsenal fan, I can admit that. And we're going to get into the big debate after this, which is going to be an interesting one. But I think you're never bigger than the club. I think you have to respect the badge. I think he didn't need to come out, especially to like a Norwegian outlet, was where it's kind of he was speaking. He could have dealt with it internally and then maybe, I don't know, went a completely different way about it. I think it was uncalled for. I don't think Liverpool are especially the time that all the situation they're in right now. And it's not, I don't think it's dire as well. I think Liverpool fans think it's terrible, where they're like fighting relegation. It's not that bad. Things can change. I don't think it was needed for him to come out and say those things. Like I said, you're not bigger than the club. Big up to Mo Salah though. Spoke to him at the PFA Awards. Really lovely guy. I do like you. I must say that. But yeah, I don't think it was needed.
Has it ever worked? Have you ever known a time when a player's done this and like it's like then made the team get better, them get better?
It's a great
like
point.
It's always on the way out. The only time I can remember is when Tevez went and played golf and then came back. But that's only because City's like not, they've not got like a heart, they've not got like a ethos or morals.
Yeah.
So like Man City, you can just like do whatever you want at that club because it's like a vapid, like empty club, innit?
Yeah, so, I hear you.
So you can kind of do that.
I love the Man City slander.
like Tevez, like you could just shit all over a club, come back because they don't, they're just like, oh, come back, we'll keep paying you. But like at like a real club like Arsenal, Man United, Liverpool, like you can't do that.
Exactly.
Because they mean, those clubs stand for something. They mean something.
This is why me and Elliot will get on. We understand football.
I think he's turning my mic off.
To a deeper level. But let me cut you there and cut to a quick break. But when we come back, we'll be doing the big debate. Obviously, I just mentioned about Fergie being a great manager. So it's going to be an interesting debate coming up next after this.
VAR, you serious on FUBAR Radio?
All right, Ali, it's time for the big debate. This section is where me and you will come up against each other in one big debate. We'll have 90 seconds to make our case, but there are some rules, of course. Let me get you the headline of today's debate. It is, who is the greatest team in Premier League history? The Invincibles or the Man United 99 treble winners, yeah? We have 90 seconds to debate this. However, we are not allowed to use the words. This is where it gets key and important. This is where I messed up recently on one of the shows. You cannot use the words Manchester United or Man United, Arsenal, Manchester, Red, Invincibles, Treble, 99, Ferguson, Wenger, Football, Premier League, Champions League. And you can't, I'm going to add in Alex and Arson because that's their first names and we could have skirted around by using their first names, okay? So, and obviously if you use any of those words that I've mentioned, that's it, debate's done. You pretty much lose because basically if you use one of the words, you're disqualified and all I can do is say one word that's allowed to be said and I win, basically. I just let the time run down. So, let's do this. I'll put 90 seconds on the clock. They've kind of said that I go first as I'm the host, but I don't know.
I think that's right.
It's always easier
chasing, isn't it? That's the thing.
Exactly.
Let's see how Arsenal is going to crumble.
Bro, we're not going to crumble because we're going to win this league, and I'm going to prove to you why.
Somehow going to come third in this debate.
The Invincibles are the best and the greatest team in Premier League history. Let's get into this. Okay, here we go. We'll start the timer in 3, 2, 1. Right, well, the reason why that team are the greatest team in Premier League history is because
that
team in oh, it's the Premier League!
10 seconds.
I'm so bad at this. I'm so bad at this. Wait, can we not do a redo? Can we not do a once over? This is my shot.
One.
Can we not do a VAR and go back? We're going to... Oh my God, they already said I can do it. Okay, we're going to start again. And I'm still going to mess up. I can feel it. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. The reason why that team are the greatest team in the country, yes, that has been ever, is because simply, and this is the main reason, it's never been done again since in the league... How am I going to do this? In the top league in the country. Yes. In addition to this, another point. Your manager, your famous manager, not the current one, let me make this clear. I'm just reading the words. Your manager, he once said, this is true, you can Google this. That achievement that the club in North London did, he always wanted to achieve that. He is one thing he wished he achieved when being your manager.
Which manager?
The manager of the team that you support. So he never achieved that. He said it's a huge achievement in football.
That's one of the words I've got. Football.
Oh my day! This is impossible.
2-0 down. Right, 2-0 down
I'm
at home.
I'm done. I'm out.
2-0
I'm out.
Down at
I'm
home.
I'm out. All right, I'm out. And I had 15 seconds to go as well. I could have done that. Ali, you have to last 1 minute and 15 seconds to win. I don't know what your life is like away from football, but you only have to last 1 minute and 15 seconds.
I can debate you twice. Let's do it.
All right, here we go. You got 90 seconds to prove and tell to me why the Man United treble 99 team is the greatest team in Premier League history. Let's go. 3, 2, 1.
So the thing with this, Cecil, is that do I actually have to take that side? Because I actually disagree with this point. And that I would agree with you, and that when it comes to the Barclays, that the team from North London in red is...
Yes! Red! Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Red!
Thank you, thank you.
Okay, but you got two, you got two.
Yep. You can have one more. You got one more?
Got two.
This is an interesting take though. And I also feel like, just while people are listening, the team the year after were the better team than the Invincible team. But anyway, we're not here to debate that. Ali, you have to go again in 3, 2, 1.
As I was saying, the side in the Barclays, when it just comes to Barclays, there's one side from North London that has been able to achieve this, whereas I think the side, you know, near Liverpool from the Northwest, who, in terms of the actual full sporting season, had the better season and are the better side. I actually don't think it's harder than I think. I actually don't think, when it comes to just pure Barclays, when you look at the table, that this Northwest team is as good. I don't think when it comes to, when you're just talking about pure Barclays, when it comes to other competitions in Europe and also domestically, then they are better than that side that you're talking about. But actually, I do agree with you, because as you say, it's never been replicated, that achievement. So that's why I think I actually agree with you over that. But if we were talking about who is the better team, it's got to be, and I've seen the time, it's got to be the famous Reds, Man United!
Said red, right? Famous, yeah, but he's
red flag flying high. Man United. VAR, you serious
on FUBAR Radio? All right, Ali, it's time for ref of the day. Ref for the day, and that is you. That is going to be you, right? And I like this section because we have a bit of a laugh. We stack the odds, and you're going to try and make it even. So good luck. So Ali, we know the standard refereeing in this country is absolutely terrible. We all know this. I think people listening and yourself will agree. So I'm giving you the chance to become the ref for today. But with a difference. Imagine a scenario. I love this scenario. Real Madrid are playing against Accrington Stanley under 16s in a £1 billion game of football. Whoever wins keeps the money. And obviously you get to take a little bit as well, because you've got to make...
Because I'm corrupt. Because I'm corrupt.
Because you're corrupt.
I'm like old school Serie A referee.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone get... Listen, £1 billion is a lot of money. We want to take a little. We can take a little.
For you maybe. Some of us are doing all right.
That tour that you're going on must be sold out across the whole country.
I wish.
we're going to you're going to give some rules, and you're going to try and level the playing field. So an example of this would be, Real Madrid players have to play in Hunter boots or Wellington boots for the match. I still think they'll be wrapping it top corner, the likes of Mbappe and Jude and that. But that might knock off a few goals. But right now, what do you think, to begin with, if Real Madrid were to play Accrington Stanley under 16s, what do you think the score would actually be right now?
I think you're doing a lot of discredit to Accrington Stanley under 15s, man. They don't like it when it's up them. You know what I mean? If we get them down on a sort of cold Sunday morning... Mm-hmm. Been pissing with rain, man.
Yeah,
I think we're talking, I think that's 7-0 Real Madrid still. So this is the thing though, isn't it? No. You know those people who genuinely think that they're like, if Barcelona played at Stoke, they wouldn't be able to. It's like, no, they would be able to. They would still smash it.
There's that guy that's in the car, and he was saying, I reckon I'm better than Messi. And he was like, yeah. He was like, but you drink and smoke. He's like, yeah, but I still think like I'm the level of, I could be better than Messi. Give me a couple months, I can train. Like, some people are extremely deluded. But if you was honestly, give me a scoreline. If they were taking it,
Real Madrid, 90 minutes yeah. properly on yeah. a proper pitch and everything.
Yeah, they're playing for £1 billion. They're gonna take it seriously.
Over 1 billion. Yeah. Yeah.
What would the score?
I don't know, 20-0, something like that.
I'd say 20-30-0. Okay, so you've gone 20-0.
I'm trying to think of my worst sort of, you know, my back in my 11-a-side days, like the worst wins and losses we had. And yeah, because there's a point where you can't actually score that many goals in a football game when you restart and everything. It's getting up to like 30 is probably.
Yeah,
I don't think you can really score much more than that with all the restarts and getting the ball up the pitch.
I agree. Okay. So you've predicted around 30-0. So you're going to give me your first rule to try and level the playing field to make this swing a little bit more at Accrington Stanley's favour under 16s.
Okay, simple one. Real Madrid players, they have to face their own goal when they have the ball. So you can run forward, but like everything, when you have the ball, everything has to be facing your own goal.
So you can run forward.
Yeah. But if you receive the ball or you're on the end of a cross, you have to be facing your own goal. You can't be facing forward.
Right. So everything has to be a backwards
header. Every back heel, backwards header, back flicks and stuff like that.
That's a sick rule.
So, and you know, goal kick's got to like, he's got to run at his own goal and then sort of back heel it. So like Accrington Stanley, when they get out for a goal kick, they're like pushing everyone forward because they're like, this is tense. So I think you could just camp in their half, yeah.
That's a top level rule. And bicycle kicks are allowed because...
Bicycle kicks, yeah. Because you're facing your own goal, so you could do that. But I think they could still play... they'd be interesting to see how they would do that.
So dribbling down the wing would have to be backwards.
You have to be rolling, backwards, kind of shuffling, yeah. Like five-a-side guys. You know those five-a-side guys that have the worst stamina and fitness, but you can't get the ball off, they're moosing their bellies.
Or John McGinn as well, actually. He uses his butt.
Oh, the booty.
Yeah, that's true.
John McBackoff.
John McBackoff is brilliant.
Him and Yaya Toure, man. The booty bros, bro.
Can you dribble backwards to the box and then turn and shoot? Or does it have to be...
You have to... Everything... When you got the ball, you have to face your own goal. So shots have to be backwards, back heels.
Okay.
They can be flicks. You can flick it and...
I'll be honest, that is bringing the score down massively. That's a strong start. People normally build to the final rule, but that's up there. Okay, that's half minimum. 15-0 we're at. Okay, go. Talk to me. Rule number two.
All the Real Madrid players have to hold their phones while they're playing. You know those guys who are like chirps in like goal during the game at Power League, you know, who like hold it. I get about like those... And they've got like their iPhone 6 in their hat. Like, that's what I want.
So they're holding
the whole game. Goalie's holding the phone. Like, and it has to be in the hat. Like, they don't have to be on their phone, but they have to hold it.
Okay. So it's like an accessory. They don't,
it's like, yeah.
Yeah, they have to just. Okay. So when they're trying to beat the man who got up for headers, the
go
phone.
Go corners, mate. There's like 11 phones, 11 iPhones in the box.
Set piece
well
routine.
As well as all that Accrington Stanley. Yeah.
Set piece routine. They put the phone in the sky with like a number on the screen.
Yeah. They're the light to find me. Yeah. Yeah, it's like that. So that's just another thing they've got.
Okay.
And then maybe they'll start, you know, kids, they might start scrolling, playing Minecraft, like, you know. They might get distracted.
Okay. That was a left.
I'm actually adding anything on that. They have to have their phone on loud, right? They can't turn it off. So if they get a notification, you're checking it, man. You like, you know, imagine I can sound right there. Ding! You're like, who's that? Like, they pass you.
Real Madrid get a penalty. You have to face backwards. And then the phone's going off. He's looking back, looking down at his phone. Plus, I have to do it back.
Yeah.
It works. I like it. I like the idea. Okay. Yeah. That's taken off a few goals. We're taking off a few goals. I'm expecting, I would say about three, four goals. I say we're about 12-11-0 now. Accrington Stanley would have scored a few actually with these rules. So I'm going to say about 11-6 right now. The final rule. Does this swing the whole balance? What is your final rule to make it in Accrington Stanley's favour if it can or not?
So Real Madrid goal only counts if the football player who scores then answers a history question about Catalonia. So you have to answer that, and then if they score the goal and then immediately
the ref's there
like,
with the question,
and if they get it, then the goal counts. But if they don't get it, it's chalked off goal kick, Accrington Stanley. Because I don't think the Real Madrid players would revise, because they'd be like, you can't learn anything about Catalonia. Like, we don't care about that place. So they're just going on like vibes, I guess.
Mad. Yeah, I think Jude might struggle, even though his Spanish has been all right. Trent has obviously had his lessons way before leaving Liverpool, but. I hear that is that rule there definitely swings the tide. I'm sorry. They have to take a quiz question after every goal. Yeah.
Yeah.
They are struggling. This is Ali, you've been superb in this section, I must say.
I'm a corrupt ref, man. What can I say?
You have been superb. Could you just run through me your three rules just so we can get a final score that I'm gonna devise after you've given us the three rules in full.
So this will be my speech to the Real Madrid sort of changing room. So, hola. I'll throw them that so they kind of know what I'm talking about. Hola, they feel at home. They're like, oh, fluent. Yeah. You know, so I'll say, hola. I'll say, and then I go, look, lads, boys, I've got three rules for you. No messing around, right? Only face your own goal when you have the ball. You have to hold your phones. Get your phones out. Trent, I see the messages you're getting, man. That's dodgy. And then finally, when you score a goal, you'll be asked a trivia question about Catalonia. If you answer that question, then the goal counts. All right. And then I'll be like, you know, merci beaucoup, like, yeah, whatever the... I don't know, yeah. That's gracias. And then they'll be like, oh, sick.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, he gets it.
He's on our side. He's on
and
our
I go,
side.
Vamos! ¡Hala, Madrid!
At the end. And then run out the change room.
Tic-tac.
Tic-tac. Tic-tac. Right. That would leave the score, in my opinion. I'll be honest. Real Madrid might get one goal and one question right. So they've all the from 30-0 down to one. And I think Accrington Stanley, I said they will get six. I think they'll actually probably get another goal. So I'd say 7-1 to Accrington Stanley under 16s. And good luck to them deserve in the it. Big game against Real Madrid for that £1 billion. Thank you very much, Ali, for the rules. And coming up after the break, we'll be finding out Ali's animated character 11. And will it be better than what I've got here in the studio? Let's find out after this.
VAR, you serious on FUBAR Radio?
Okay, Ali, we're going to do Fancy 11. Now, this is probably my favourite section of the show, even though I do flip between some other sections. But right now, how I'm feeling, Fancy 11, we're going to do an animated character 11. We're going to go 4-3-3. We've got to go classic. I say classic, that's not classic. That's actually new school. It's 4-4-2 is classic. But we're going to go 4-3-3 to make things easier. I've done mine in 4-3-3. I'm hoping you've done yours in 4-3-3.
I'm an old school man. 4-4-2.
You went 4-4-2?
4-4-2. We ain't messing about. None of this tippy-tappy nonsense. All right.
All right. Do you know what? All right. I'm going to...
But you know, my players, they can move. But
no, I'll change. You're the guest. Okay. You're the guest. I'll change. And it's a cartoon. So it really is old school. Even though there's still cartoons today. I went back a few to get some of these characters in my 11. So again, this is the 11 that no one asked for, but it's definitely one of my favourites. So let's get into this. We're going to start... We should do player for player. We'll do player for player. So I'll say my goalkeeper, you'll say your goalkeeper, and then we'll run through the 11s, and then at the end, we'll say our individual teams together. So let's get into this. I'll start with my goalkeeper, which is in goal in my animated 11 is a bit new school. Wreck-It Ralph. Don't know if are you aware of Wreck-It Ralph?
Yeah, I know Wreck-It Ralph.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
I have to just check. Wreck-It Ralph. Big guy. Yep.
Yeah.
Big guy.
Good hand eye, like grip.
Grip. I'm thinking ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? See, okay, that's my goalkeeper, Wreck-It Ralph. For you, who have you got?
So, I can't take credit for this. My friend gave me this, but Ash Ketchum, gotta catch them all. Gotta catch them all, man. He just gets them, bang, bang, easy.
How are you getting a round of applause in production? What's going on? What people, Pokemon fans?
No celebration, but just doing my job.
How does the theme tune start? I'm gonna
be the very best, like no one ever was. I mean, what? I don't know. I was too busy linking girls and chatting and stuff when I was young. So I don't know.
I'm so glad he actually came in with the energy there. That was a small little setup. I'm gonna be the very best. Please make sure
big
we have.
Pokemon fan.
Please put that on the social edit. That was brilliant. Right back, I've gone Buzz Lightyear.
Interesting.
What have you gone with?
So I'm gonna go for some. People, I don't know. Do you know BoJack Horseman, the show, TV show? BoJack? It's a modern show, Netflix. It's great.
Okay.
But there's a character in it called Mr. Peanut Butter, and he's like a dog. And I think he's like really enthusiastic all the time and excited. And I think that's what you need from your right back, up and down the flank.
Mr. Peanut Butter.
That's what I mean. He's like super happy and excited all the time. So that's what I'm thinking. You need that energy on at right back.
Interesting. So yeah. I've gone to infinity and beyond, and you've gone Mr. Peanut Butter, the dog man. Okay.
I can tell there's gonna be some curveballs in here.
There will be some curveballs.
Because I'm looking at, you know, adult animation, not that way, and anime I've got in here, so
okay.
You gotta watch out.
Okay, I've gone. Okay.
I'm pretty cool.
Okay, well we're gonna see at the end who's got the strongest 11, and I'm gonna go with the centre back pairing of Mr. Incredible. Hold tight, Mr. Incredible.
Yeah.
Yep. What are you waiting for? I don't know, something amazing, I guess. Anyway, sorry, just big up the Incredibles. I'm going back to my childhood. And Johnny Bravo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, some big guys, some brutes.
You got a profile. You got a profile you like, man. These big white guys, just the core of your team. These thick, yeah. Like barrel chested.
Thick and strong, big, yeah.
Yeah, Socrates style, kind of just like Chris Woods.
Maybe stiff, maybe very stiff. Yeah. They could probably get run around, but I like physicality in that back line. I've got a strong goalkeeper, strong centre back pairing. Who's your centre back pairing?
So I do agree with that. I've gone for physicality as well.
Oh, okay.
But instead of these cartoons, I've gone for some anime. So do you know Studio Ghibli?
No, but okay. I'm gonna keep researching all of this.
So there's a famous Studio Ghibli film. It's called My Neighbor Totoro, and it's on it's a play at the moment. And Totoro, so Totoro, is this like huge like cat like thing, and it's just I think you want that in the box.
My Neighbor Totoro, yeah, film and a musical now.
Yeah, big guy, and then also the other one is from an anime called Attack on Titan.
I know about Attack on Titan.
Yeah. So there's a colossal titan. Who's like you know, a mile tall, and you just want that presence in the box. So that's what I'm going for.
So anime is the origin of your back line. Interesting.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They are very big and strong. So that is something I must consider. I've gone left back, SpongeBob SquarePants, because he absorbs information. And nowadays, the left backs like to invert and do a lot of, you know, they have to absorb what they're seeing in front of them. They can see the whole pitch. SpongeBob SquarePants. Maybe not the most athletic, some would say. But I had to get SpongeBob in there. I'm a big fan of him.
Who's your left like his mind. Yeah, he's like clever, very clever player, underrated, like a Daily Blind. Like, you know, you would, but he can absorb it. Okay.
Absorb it, exactly. Yeah. Intellectual.
So I'm going to go again, more adult animation. I'm going to go Roger from American Dad.
Okay.
Because he's a utility player.
Yes.
He's always getting in different outfits, being different characters. And that, you need one of them in the squad. Left back's the position. So, you know, someone drops out in midfield, he comes in, striker comes in. So, yeah, left back, Roger.
Damn, I like Roger. And he plays different characters. Yeah, you've done well there. Plays different roles. Then nowadays, you've articulated that very well. Let's go into midfield. My midfield, I've got to do this on the spot because I've done 4-3-3. But I'm going to do, in my midfield, I've got the Tasmanian Devil.
Yeah, nice. Sort of Gattuso-style player in there.
Just everywhere.
Yeah.
Tasmanian Devil has to be in there. Alongside... the Genie from Aladdin.
Oh. Maverick, though.
Creative. Magical.
Because you got three things you can ask of him, and that's it. So...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, you're thinking deep.
You've gone. If you're then like, well, you got to drop back. He's like, that was.
You ran out of wishes.
You told you. So that team talk's got to be precise. One at a time.
I've got three. Yeah. I've only got two. That's a very thought through response. Damn. Okay, that's fine. I can work with that. Yeah. So we've got Tasmanian Devil and the Genie. Boy, with three wishes. Okay. That's my two midfielders. Give me your two midfielders.
So again, this is where I'm outing myself as a big nerd. But one of them is going to be from an anime.
You are a big anime fan.
Well, I'm getting more into it now. My friend's into it. And it's called One Punch Man. And the guy's called Saitama. And he's like the strongest, like quickest guy. And he's bald. And I like a bald player in there. Like you don't get bald footballers now because they're too rich. They all get hair transplants.
It's true.
But like a Steve Sidwell type, like kind of just like, or like...
Zidane? Or he was kind of... He
Zidane was
bald,
beautiful. He was a beautiful bald man though. Like he was trendy. I'm thinking of like a Moy. He was that New Zealand guy like who used to play for Burnley. Kiwi dude. I think it was Aaron Moy.
Okay.
Like that sort of... And like he's... I think he's just super strong and quick and everything. So he can get everywhere, about.
But he's not going to be punching my players though, because I'll get him ready.
He won't punch. He's very chill. He only punches if attacked. You know what I mean? He's very chill. And then the other one is like Rick from Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
Because he's got the portal gun. So he can just spray passes where, you know, you want that in the midfield. So you're like, he's like zip, zip, zip and just plays the ball out. And it's like at the feet of the striker. So very quick to move the ball around, I'd say.
Fair. I feel like I can get a Rick from Rick and Morty. I can get him. I think Tasmanian Devil can definitely get him. Let me do my wingers. Right. So I've got to actually think this through very carefully. So on the right wing, I've got Roadrunner.
Yeah.
Standard, classic.
Yeah. Good
Self-explanatory, Looney Tunes. Yeah. Roadrunner, quick, down the wing. And on the opposite wing, I've gone for pace again. Dash from The Incredibles. I've got The Incredible, trying to build an incredible family here, but maybe maybe it's a bit of a cheat code, but speed. That's what we need down the wings. Yeah, yeah. So I've got two flying wingers right and left. So that they're my wingers. That's Give me good. Yours.
Any that short, kind of Dan James style sort of player. Just
look at you relating to all the Man United or ex-Man United players. There's other lot better players than Dan James that you could have related
Dash
to.
Is that sort of. I mean, who are they? Just like kind of quick, short, white guy who just runs super quick.
Yeah, fair.
I'm like, what is Dash? No one's saying Dash got like the technical ability to cut in, but he's out on the wing and stuff like that. Roadrunner's at least elusive, you know.
Yeah, true. Anthony Gordon, Dash. I mean,
Who's your Andy Gordon's got too much of the Claire Balding about him. So.
Fair. Who's your?
So I've gone for two very different types, right? So I've gone for like again more anime on the right side. I've gone for Goku from Dragon Ball Z because he's a beast.
That's a good one.
And you kind of just want that, you know, he's ruthless and he's got everything. He's quick and he's fast and he's strong and stuff like that. So you want that on the right. And on the left, and there's an animated series of X-Men, I've gone for Nightcrawler, the guy who teleports around.
Yeah,
because how do you mark him? You know, ghost, that third man run, ghosting into the box. That's that tricky. So it's like you've got that just raw power on the right and then a lot more trickery on the side. You know what I mean? Imagine just spamming a cross in, you put it wherever. You got crawlers on the end, man. So that's
a good one. That's a good one. I can't lie. Even though, is he at, I mean, that's animated the, version.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a bit
inconspicuous. It was a cartoon.
You let us know.
Comics.
People, you let us know if that's allowed. But okay, so Nightcrawler on the left. Okay, I like that on the left. And of course, Goku. Okay, that's strong wingers. My front two. As you mentioned at the beginning, I've gone a lot of strength and brutality at the back because I need my attackers to just be at you. They're less physical, but they're speed demons. We've gone Sonic the Hedgehog up front alongside Pikachu. Yep, I've done a Pokemon one. Yeah?
Yeah, they're nice, man. I think two similar players, I'd say.
Yeah,
they are. That's the thing.
I had to change my formation. That's why. They would have been
where was Pikachu? Spot. False nine Pikachu.
He was going to be in the 10.
In the 10. Interesting. Okay.
But okay, give me your
Pikachu in the 10. What's he doing?
I don't know.
Okay.
I panicked.
So did you ever watch that cartoon Fairly Odd Parents?
Of course.
Cosmo and Wanda, front two. They've got solutions. You've got problems, they've got solutions, man. Magic up front. That's what you're going
to
have.
Timmy Turner.
And they know each other. Exactly. They know each other already. They got the partnership, the relationship. They can be whoever you want. You know, they could come together and be like
That's
two Erling Haalands, whatever.
That is very good. Do you know the theme tune to that or not? Or has that slipped your mind?
Odd parents, fairly odd parents. That's what I remember.
All right. Let's recap.
I'm so glad I got a girlfriend.
Yeah, our cool levels of trot mastery since doing this show. Let me run through my team and you're going to run through your team. Here we go. In full, in goal, I've got Wreck-It Ralph. Right back, I've got Buzz Lightyear to Infinity and beyond. Centre back pairing of Mr. Incredible and Johnny Bravo. Brutality in there. Left back, SpongeBob SquarePants. Absorbs information. My midfield two are the Tasmanian Devil and the Genie who... Ali was very right, only get three wishes. That could be a problem. And then right wing, I've got Roadrunner. Left wing, I've got Dash. A lot of speed. The front two wasn't supposed to be my front two, but they are
excuses.
Pikachu and Sonic the Hedgehog are my strikers. Ali,
okay,
run for it.
This is for all the nerds out there. Ash Ketchum in goal, Mr. Peanut Butter right back, Totoro and Colossal Titan, huge pairing at centre back, Roger from American Dad left back, Goku at right wing, Nightcrawler at left wing, midfield two, Saitama and Rick, Rick from Rick and Morty, Keen and Skulls in there, and then a front two of Cosmo and Wanda from Fairly Odd Parents.
Do you know what? I'm going to swallow my pride and say, can't believe I'm giving Man United fan a win here, but you definitely won that fantasy animated 11. Little round of applause in the studio. Big up. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Before we do close off for today's show, I need to ask you about your tour because you are touring. You're touring and you need to let the people know, are the tickets still available? Where are you going to be? And yeah, let us know about the tour. Let's go.
Yeah, tickets still available. They are selling though, so please do get them now. The tour starting in February. I'm doing UK, Europe, and Australia. So if you're in any of those places, come along. And yes, my new show that I'm working on, my old show's on YouTube, available to watch if you want. And hopefully see you there.
Incredible. It's been a pleasure having you in the studio. So Ali Woods, thank you so much for joining me. And thank you so much for joining VA. Are you serious? This is me signing out. Cecil G and Ali Woods. Take care.